The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, happy Founders Day. It's a kind of a big day for us, the day we celebrate Gaho Zenji's, we celebrate his life really. He was a teacher of Reverend Master Jiyu, invited her to Japan, she studied with him, and then came to the West and founded Shasta Abbey eventually. So she founded this temple in his name. So although she began the temple, we've all thought of him as our founder. And 20 years ago she died. And on this day, on Founders Day, she was really sick. But she hadn't ended her final illness. She was just chronically ill. She wanted to come to the Founders Shrine to thank Koho Zenji shortly before she died. But she didn't manage it. Something happened and she couldn't come. And then next day she got sick. A few days after that she died. So she never was able to come to the Founders Shrine on that last, you know, end of her life. But she always was grateful to him. Just right at the end of her life, when she was really ill, she wanted to come and thank Koho Zenji. So. And next week, as many of us know, we're celebrating her 20th anniversary. 20 years after she died in 1996, we're going to have a weekend of things. We have something of a celebration on Saturday evening, and then a festival and a potluck on Sunday. And you're all most welcome. We hope you'll come. So, I'm going to talk about something completely different today. Somebody recently asked me to write something about the meaning of life. And the more... Right. So the more I thought about this, the more I thought, the more meaningless the question became. You know, the meaning of life, you know. It's not a helpful question. Krishnamurti said, Ajahnamurti quotes him, he said, meaning? If somebody asked him about the meaning of life, he said, meaning? Why does life have to have meaning? Does a flower have meaning? Does moonlight have meaning? You know? So he had a point. So then I thought, okay, maybe the purpose of life. But then you can think, well, is this like the purpose of life with a capital L? You know, why are we here? What's it all for? How do we get into this? You know, what's the grand purpose of everything? And again, it's not that helpful, you know. When the Buddha, when people ask the Buddha about things like this, he'd just keep quiet. He wouldn't say anything. He said, these were questions not tending to edification. It's not helpful to ask, how did we all get here? What's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of life? And so on. He was practical. He talked about dealing with suffering. It's not helpful to ask about how we got here. Here we are, you know. And we make the best of it and the most of it and do our best. But we could ask, what's the purpose of my life? And you could ask that with a bit more usefulness. What's the purpose of my life? It might be helpful to consider, you know. What's my life? What's it for? I don't really know, but what's my purpose in this life? And everybody would have a different answer, I think, you know. How do I make the best of it? Or how do I make the most of this life? Or some people might say, to know the truth, to find God, to help beings, to cleanse my karma. And somebody might think, what does that mean? Yeah. Or be more modest, to raise my family, to, you know, raise my kids to be decent people, to, you know, fulfill my responsibilities. Or for some people to become famous or wealthy or be respected or whatever. And this all brings up the question of worth. Is my life worthwhile? What's it worth? Am I worth feeding, you know, taking up space on this planet? It's a good question. Some people fill their lives with activity and busyness in order to feel useful, that they can't, or they're, you know, continually trying to do good. And of course, doing good and being useful is fine, but it can be something of a trap, you know, a way of avoiding looking at what we're doing and why we're doing it. It's a me, or could be a me doing good, or a me being nice or kind or useful or respectable or dependable or whatever it might be. And the me gets in the way because it prevents us from seeing a little more deeply, looking more deeply at our purpose or our worth, you know? What am I worth? For what that's worth. We may feel that we're kind of worthless, our life is worthless, meaningless, our efforts and training are worthless. Sometimes we may feel this. Do not believe this. Great Master Dogen, he says, even a moment of half-hearted meditation brings enormous benefit to countless beings. We have no idea. Even our half-hearted meditation, just for a moment, helps in countless ways. We have no idea how much it helps. And the Buddha says a thought of loving kindness brings immense benefit to beings. You know, just a little thought of loving kindness, both to those for whom we offer it and to ourselves. We have no idea how beneficial our efforts can be. So we don't have to fall into this thing of I'm worthless. This time of year can be kind of hard sometimes, hard and dark for some of us. We're coming into winter, it's raining. We're very happy we have rain, but it's a little dark. But if it was light all the time, we wouldn't know darkness, and we wouldn't even know light. It would just be the same all the time. We can love the sunshine coming out after the rain. It's brighter, and it lifts our spirits. But when it's sunny all the time, you start thinking, boy, we could use some rain, you know. We need both. You need light and dark. If it was dark all the time, it would be pretty tough. If it was light all the time, it would be pretty dull, actually. You need both, light and darkness. Light goes with darkness as the sequence does of steps in walking. You have to have both. They alternate. You're never in the dark all the time. You're never in the light all the time. It's an immeasurably helpful thing. That one little phrase, light goes with darkness, as the sequence does of steps in walking, is profound and immeasurably comforting, actually. Because neither the light nor the darkness goes on forever. They both change. They constantly move. The sequence of steps in walking, now it's light, now it's dark. The seasons, now it's spring, now it's summer, autumn, winter. It gets darker, then it gets lighter again. It doesn't just keep going down into the dark. But we're all different. Some of us tend towards the light. We don't want to know about the darkness. We don't like the darkness. We don't want to hear about it. We turn away from it and we try to pretend it's not there. And this is actually a mistake. We need to see the dark. We need to face the dark parts of ourselves, the dark things in life, to have courage not to turn away from it, but to look right at it. Here it is. What does it have to teach me? What is there here for me? What do I need to see? And others of us tend to focus on the darkest and think that's reality. We're suspicious of the light, but there's a nice bright moment, I don't know about this, you know, it'll be gone in a minute, I better not trust it or enjoy it or anything. Grim reality, you know, not nice reality, but grim reality. And again, you know, it's a bit one-sided. If we have a moment of brightness, we think we're all deluded. But don't have to go looking for darkness. It will come our way. And the darkness does lighten, and we don't dwell in the light all the time. because we need both. We need light and dark. Otherwise, we'd never sleep. And as we train ourselves, in fact, things do brighten. It gets better. If we begin training with a lot of darkness in our life, as we train, it lightens. We dwell less in despair and sadness and so on. And we still have light and dark. Sometimes we have a really dark period. Sometimes things are really sad. We have bereavement, sadness, loss. Sometimes it seems to be darker than ever, and it does pass. I asked for somebody's advice on dealing with despair. This person has a lot of practice. And they said a number of things. They said, cultivate faith, read the Dharma and put it into practice, keep physically active. It takes us out of ourselves. If we're moving, it takes us out of our little brain and keeps us moving through that despair. Help other beings, even in little tiny ways, putting shoes straight out on the shoe rack or dusting a little place that needs dusting, even if it's not our responsibility. Just taking care with things, seeing where something needs to be done, picking up a piece of litter on the sidewalk, that kind of thing. Helping beings. And of course, I would say, keeping up a regular meditation practice and never give up. That's what Winston Churchill said. Towards the end of his life, I love this, towards the end of his life, he's old, he goes to do a talk to some boys at a school because he's, you know, well known. He said, boys, never give up. I think that was about it. That's all he needed to say, never give up. He would know. When it's light, we can see, and we can see things passing, we can see things changing. We know things change all the time. When it's dark, you can't see. And it's hard to see that actually things are changing all the time. We may think we're stuck and not moving, but we are moving. With each thought and with each breath, we are moving. Moving through the darkness and moving through the light. We just need to have faith in this. Not to think we are stuck. We're constantly moving through. But sometimes it's hard to see because it's dark. But actually, we're moving. Just trust it. And this brings us back to the question of worth. Is my training worthwhile? Many of us feel that our training isn't good enough. We're not doing enough. We're not helping enough, we're not meditating well enough, we're not being keeping the precepts well enough. Well, good enough for what? Or good enough for whom? Whom are we trying to be good enough for? You know, there's the guy in the sky that some of us still... Is he watching me? You know, am I good enough? No, I'm not. But just to do our best. To keep doing our best. But to one, you know, we wonder, am I doing any good in this world? Am I training helping? Well, of course our training is helping, because we can see the results of it. Our training helps us, it helps other beings. We can see it working. And this helps with our cultivation of faith. No matter who we are, no matter what we think of ourselves, no matter how poorly we may think we may be doing, just to trust that, never give up, and just keep on doing our best. And still, to keep cultivating faith, to keep moving on, trusting the worth of our efforts. Our worth is intrinsic. All of us have worth. We can't get rid of it, actually. We can't create it. We can't get rid of our innate worth. Trees don't worry about if they're worth watering, you know, they don't stand there in existential angst, neither do the cats. Dogs, birds, they're not worrying about, should I be on this branch singing my song and doing my stuff, am I really worth it, you know? They just live. Maybe we can learn something, you know. They don't worry about these things, they just live their lives. And maybe we can just live our lives and do our best. But being human, we complicate things. And we look for things to worry about, and we find things to worry about, and we see the suffering that we all create. It's more complicated. We have a wider view. But we don't have to doubt our own worth. We don't have to worry about that. We are intrinsically worth it. We are all part of Buddha nature. We, as I said, we cannot get rid of it. The Bodhisattva vows, we're looking for a purpose, or they will give us a pretty good lot of purpose right there. You know, it's pretty hard to fulfill them. Enough purpose for many lifetimes. And fortunately, we don't have to keep the vows perfectly. We can't. We don't have to perfect them all at once. But we can do our best to aspire to keep them. However innumerable beings may be, I vow to save them all. We can't possibly save all the myriad beings, but we can do our best to help a little bit. We don't have to be a saint, but just to do our best to help a little bit with what comes our way. Something that comes our way, not going out, you know, looking for good to do, but just doing our best with what comes. The Sagaki ceremony we did yesterday, a massive offering of merit for beings. We do it. And then you've done it. And it's really nice to do something like that. It's good to offer merit, kindness, help, however we want to do it, to trust that actually it does help. Our offering of merit, our offering of kindness, offering of help, does help. To trust that. That yes, there is intrinsic worth in my efforts to do good and to help beings. Second one, however innumerable the passions may be, I vow to transform them all, to transform all my myriad angers and fears and greeds and desires and hatreds and resistance and ignorance and despair, to transform all this. An endless task, moment by moment, looking at what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're saying, constant work. However limitless the Dharma may be, I vow to comprehend it completely. It's huge. How can I comprehend it completely? I can do my best to put it into practice, to apply it to my life. Otherwise, if I just read about the Dharma, it's not doing me much good. But if I put it into practice, meditate, keep to the precepts as best I can, to practice it as I can. Constantly and faithfully with our own body and mind and speech, doing our best. However infinite the Buddha's truth is, I vow to realize it. To realize the Buddha's infinite truth. It's huge. It's much bigger than we can imagine. Infinite truth, you know? And yet, we can open up to it. We can turn towards it. We can entrust ourselves to it. To open the heart to truth, to Buddha nature, however it is, however we want to talk of it, think of it. To just to turn towards that as we remember, moment by moment, in the middle of the day when we're making coffee or at work or whatever. Oh, what am I doing? Pay attention. Oh, talking to somebody. To see the good in that person, to practice kindness, respect for all beings, constantly turning towards the Buddha's infinite truth by working on our passions of greed and anger and fear and all that, helping beings, doing our best. All of this is enough purpose for many lifetimes. It's just one way of putting it. It's really big. The meaning of life, why worry? We've got enough work without worrying about the meaning of life, but a purpose. What's the purpose of my life? To relinquish suffering. To relinquish creating suffering for myself and other beings. Just doing our best, moment by moment, in darkness and in light, however we may feel, living the life of faith, helping the world a little bit. It can use a little help. Certainly needs it now. So on this Founders Day, I wish you all well.